Let's pray. Lord, I've been praying all week for you to come and awaken us, God. Thank you for awakening hearts in the last hour. And Lord, we move forward. There are more hearts to be awakened, God. Awaken me more, even. God, we need you. And if you're willing, would you just kind of lay down anything that would hinder you from receiving from God this morning? I know he has something for you. And you have to let him give it to you. So, Lord, I just lay down any walls, any distractions that I brought in here with me. And I just submit them to you now, and I place my spirit in your hands. And it's in good hands with you. Awaken my heart, God. Stir something in me to go deeper with you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning. My name's Jeff. I'm one of the pastors here. Welcome if you're visiting. And I wanted to spend a little bit of time reviewing where we've been as a church and where we've been headed on Sunday mornings. And we've been feeling like, leadership's been feeling like God's calling us to raise up an army. I say us, meaning all of us, to raise up an army for God. And he's given us a picture from Ezekiel where there's the valley of dry bones and the Spirit of God is breathed on those bones and they become flesh and they stand and he breathes the life into them. And an army for what? To take back ground in our lives that the enemy has taken from us. If you've come to a relationship with Jesus Christ and you put your faith in him, then there is a restoration process that God wants to continue to walk you through. If you haven't gotten there, then that's where he wants to start. He wants to restore you to him. And once he's done that, he wants to take you deeper into a life of fullness, bringing the kingdom of God into your realm. And he wants to draw us together as an army to do that. So we've walked through lies. We've looked at the lies that we believe and kind of walked through the process of what do you do with those lies? They define you, it feels like. And then we've dug deeper into what's the truth about us, what is God saying about us, and how do we break those lies and start living in the truth. And so we've gone there. And now we're seeing this more freedom. You know, there's more freedom opening up to us. Now, how do we live a life full of the Spirit of God in power? And seeing him show up, like we see, you read through the Bible and you hear these stories, the Spirit of God moving in power, emboldening people. How do we move into that? Randy last week talked about what it looks like when the Spirit is moving. And this isn't a comprehensive list, but some of the things in his time with God, just awakening the places that God moves and what it looks like in our individual lives. Here's some of those things. Are you moved? Do you have tears when God moves? So when God's stirred for something, does it bring you to tears? The Spirit of God is moving. What about an overwhelming love for others that's bigger than you? When you sense that love for other people, that you're ready to sell your things, you're ready to give up your time and go after somebody, you're ready to lay aside self-image, fears, and go after somebody's heart, the Spirit of God is moving. There's a softening of your heart. When your heart feels soft and tender, and you can hear somebody when they share with you what's really going on deeper in their hearts, the Spirit of God is moving. And then Randy said he felt like the invitation from God was, call out. Pursue me, God's saying. Pursue me, cry out to me, and I will come and I'll do those things, I'll manifest those things in your life more and more and more. So today we come to the question of how do we do that? How do we get ourselves to a point of crying out to God? And if you remember, if you were there, third service last week, I got up to close the service and I felt moved to pray that God would disrupt us this last week, in ways to call us to cry out to him. And one of the things that I had in my heart was to pray that he would wake us up at night. And everybody was really mad that I prayed that prayer. But just, you know, waking up in the middle of the night, like, I'm awake, and I feel like God woke me up, and I'm not going to just go back to sleep. I'm going to get on my knees, and I'm going to seek God and cry out to Him for a move of His Spirit in my heart and in my life. So let's walk through the next 3 days after that. Day one, Monday, I wake up an hour before the alarm, and I go, whoa, is this God, like, answering the prayer? I don't think so. I roll over and go back to sleep. And about noon that day, I get a call from a friend of mine from church. And he says, hi, Jeff. I was up at 2:30 this morning trying to pray nicely for you. And I couldn't get back to sleep for like 2 hours, so I prayed during that time. Thank you for praying that. And, you know, inside I'm going, shoot. I was only like an hour early from my alarm, and I rolled over and went back to sleep. Day two, Tuesday. God wakes me up an hour before, like clockwork. It's like God can tell time or something. And, well, He doesn't live in time, so it's pretty cool that He can still tell time. He wakes me up an hour early, and this time I'm like, okay, second chance. I'm not going to blow it this time. I'm convicted. I'm getting up. Prayed. Had an incredible day. The Spirit of God I felt later in the day. There was a point when I was driving back into town, and I was overwhelmed. You know, worshiping God, overwhelmed with His love for this place. This church, but this city. Coming back into town from Monroe, you know, you can just see the Catholic Church and some of the houses on the hillside, and the first kind of visual sign of Duval. And I was overwhelmed with God's love for this place, and I started to cry. And I remembered when I did how long it's been since I've cried with that connection with God. So that was powerful. Day three, Wednesday morning, I'm in the middle of a dream, and right in the dream there's this really emotional part. It's a kind of a joy, though, and I'm just getting ready to start weeping in this dream. And I can't remember the last time I wept. It was a long time ago. But, you know, just that chest heaving, weeping, and I'm just starting to do that in my dream. And something sounds like a truck just got dropped in our house. Like the whole house just went. But you know, when you're awakened by a noise, you only hear the second half of it, because the first half of it is waking you up. So I woke up and I'm like, did I really hear that? And we have two bunk beds. So first I thought, that sounded louder than one of my kids falling on the floor, but I better go check. So I run in there and everyone's just sound asleep. And this is an hour before my alarm is going to go off. So I'm like, whoa, God just woke me up. I mean, it sounded like He took His fist and just hit the floor. And Star's like, what are you talking about? You know, and she goes back to sleep. Like, you didn't hear that? So I went downstairs anticipating earthquakes. God's going to show up. I'm going to see Him. I'm going to hear His voice audibly. This is going to be an incredible time with God. I go down and kneel on the living room floor and nothing. I'm distracted. I'm thinking about what I'm going to make for lunch. And I'm like, ugh, okay, get my journal, open it up. Just open page in front of me. Okay, God, speak. What do you want to say? I'll write it down. Nothing. Flip up the computer, get some music going. Worship. Better. Feeling more connection with God. Start to pray some things. Not what I expected after He shook my house to wake me up. Okay, that doesn't happen very often, for me, at least. So then at the end of that time, it's about time I needed to get to work, I felt like God was speaking something to me. He was the sense I got was, it was like He was saying, this is what my people experience most of the time. This is what many of you and myself in that moment experience, is I want to be desperate for God. I want to cry out to Him and see Him come and move and see His Spirit and His power. But I can't get myself there. I just can't make it happen. So I was experiencing that. And then the rest of my day was awesome, like the Tuesday was. But still, the effects of getting up and seeking Him were great, because I didn't see the manifestation of the Spirit right then. It didn't matter. He still came, but He showed me that picture. So it brings us to our question this morning. We're going to look at one question this morning. This isn't the classic three-point sermon. One question that we're going to investigate about, how do we develop more powerful prayer? Okay, whoops, I don't want to go there yet. And so we're going to look at an example from Acts to start us out and kind of look at, well, what does this look like? Peter and John had just stirred up a big ruckus because they had healed a crippled man. And everybody was amazed by this, and so then they started to preach about Jesus in the temple. And the people were just raptured by this because this crippled man, been crippled forever, he's running around, leaping and praising God. And so the high priest come in, whoa, what's going on here? No, what are they? They're preaching Jesus and people are coming to him. And then it started to become nighttime. They're like, we got to deal with this in the morning. They throw him in jail overnight, drag him back out the next day. And they're like, what do we say? What do we do to these guys? Because everybody's praising God because of them. But what they're preaching, we don't agree with. So they threatened them. You know, probably we'll beat you, we'll throw you in prison, we'll stone you. Stop speaking about Jesus. Shut up and get out, all of you. They send them off. Peter and John go back to their church. You know, imagine them coming back in here. They're like, guys, listen to this. God healed this cripple, and we got in big trouble for it. Like, they said they're going to kill us if we keep doing this, guys. All of you. If you keep sharing Christ with those around you, they're coming for you. They're going to drag you and throw you in prison, take your possessions, beat you, and if you keep doing it, they're going to kill you. They told us. And all of you gather together and like, let's pray. Okay? Let's pray. Now, did they pray for protection? Did they pray that God would keep them safe and help them to have a really good underground church? Well, this is the prayer that was recorded. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Yes. That's a powerful prayer. Basically what they said, let me translate. God, we just stirred up a ruckus. We just stirred up a riot here. And people are ticked off and threatening our lives. Would you help us to do it again? Could you come and help us do it again, but more this time, God? Further in this time. And that's the prayer that God responds to. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. So their hearts were in a certain place there, right? This is an example of a prayer that God moved on, the Spirit of God moved on in power. I mean, the place was shaken, yes, but more importantly, they went out and spoke the word boldly because that's what they were after. That was their goal, not their safety or comfort. When we cry out to the Spirit, are we asking for safety and comfort, or are we asking to preach the word boldly and to advance the kingdom of God? That's one illustration. So how do we get an axe for heart? Okay? How do we get an axe for heart? How do we become desperate for God? This is one area where crisis plays in. Crisis can be a gift in some ways when it comes to this, because it does, all of you who know, who are either in crisis now or have walked through one, know that it can create a desperation for God, which can bear the fruit of intimacy with him, right? That's the fruit. That's the blessing of crisis, if I can say it that way. But what do you do if you don't feel like you're in a crisis? What do you do if you just kind of feel comfortable? I think you have to ask yourself a question. How are you living right now, or in your life right now, where is it required that God shows up? Where are you desperate for God? So we believe that when you come to Christ, you receive that seal, the Holy Spirit he's given to you. If that was to go away, if the Holy Spirit was to leave you right now, would that change your schedule this week? What would that disrupt? And it's a good check to kind of go through that. Because we're calling on the Spirit, we want more of the Spirit. But do we need more of the Spirit in our lives? Let's look at a few examples of what that might look like. Now, how do we move into that? First of all, following his voice. Following his voice in how to move into a more desperate life for God is important. You may not feel like you're at a place where you can hear God. I would argue that you may be hearing God more than you think, but the interpretation that was God, you know, recognizing that it's his voice. But even if you're not hearing God right now or don't feel like you can connect and God just says, do this, and it will create a situation where you're desperate for me and my spirit will move. What things can we do? What could it look like? A few examples from my life real quick. I remember the first couple of years that I came to the Lord, I started going to this college group, and that was a big step for me, just doing that, because I didn't really think I needed fellowship. I just wanted to kind of have my Bible and have my time with God, and I started to believe, no, I need fellowship, especially since my life was a train wreck. I needed God. I needed God's people around me in fellowship. Well, one of the guys who led that group had a guitar, and he would lead a few songs during the beginning, and we'd have some worship time. And he said, hey, I heard you play the guitar. Do you want to bring your guitar and play with me? You know, and help lead worship? Like, play in front of other people with my guitar? That was scary for me. And up until that point, I always would have said, no thanks. That's just too scary. I'm not going to step out. That's disturbing my comfort zone. I like to just come and just kind of be a spectator in this group. But something in me said, yeah, I'll bring it. And that next week, I connected with God more deeply in new ways. And it was, most of it was around my self-image and worrying about looking like a fool and all of that. And that's okay, because that's where God started with me, to take me deeper. And as it grew more, it became more about, I don't want to just accompany a song. I want to help this guy lead people into worship during this time. God, how do I do that? What do you want to speak to me this week? What do you want to speak to me through these songs we're doing? And it started to grow more and more, and that was the Spirit of God starting to move in me. And then there came the week where he said, I'm not coming this week. You want to lead worship? Like, sing and play the guitar, and nobody else is playing the guitar? And I started getting, you know, really scared. And for some reason I said, okay. You know, you ever say okay to something and then go, why did I say okay to that? That's what we're trying to get to. That we do that more. Okay? I'm not talking about busyness and taking more things on. I'm talking about stepping into the thing that I feel like I'm supposed to do that. I'm going to do it. How in the world am I going to do this? God, come and help me. Fill me. Show me how to do this. Okay? I did that with that. And then later, he decides they're going to start at that church that the college group was from, a Saturday night service. And he's going to lead worship. Would you be on the worship team? Like, in front of lots of people playing the guitar and singing. And I stepped into that. And God was growing me, fathering me. And I was in places where I had to call on the Spirit of God. One example. I'm going to do some of these kind of quick. Albania, when just being called to Albania, my wife and I were missionaries there. The call to Albania, we felt like we were supposed to go to this mission school in Colorado, and after the mission school, God was going to send us into the mission field. We had that clearly. We could not hear him on where to go. And if you've looked at a map lately, it's a really big world, and there's lots of places you could go. We could not figure it out. So we decided, okay, God, we know we're supposed to go into missions, so we're just going to pick a place and be completely open to you to change our plans. We feel like maybe we're supposed to go to Kyrgyzstan. We're moving forward. Would you close the door to Kyrgyzstan if we're not supposed to go there? We do not want to go to Kyrgyzstan if it's not where you want us. But we know we're supposed to go into missions and we want to move forward. So we did. And we moved forward, and it was the week of, I think even a couple days from meeting with the leader from Kyrgyzstan. He'd come back from Kyrgyzstan to our mission school. And we were going to meet with him about getting set up and moving over there, and we get an email from Star's dad in Albania, and he said, would you come and walk with this church that we planted and help them get rooted in Gjirokastër and in Albania? And I'm like, well, we're going to Kyrgyzstan, but yeah, we'll pray about that. And we go to prayer, And I had one of the clearest images that God's ever impressed on me. Visions, if you will, in prayer. Just, if I could draw, I could draw it out for you, even though it was like 15 years ago. It's burned in my long-term memory. And God spoke and said, you're going to Albania. And it was as clear as could be. Clearest word I've ever heard from God. But we had moved forward with something else, with open hands. And then the Spirit of God came and moved and spoke to Star and me the same thing. So that's just another example of moving into areas where it requires the Spirit to move. Okay? Elijah prays for the widow's son. Okay? Remember Elijah in the Old Testament? He's living with a widow and her son dies. And he goes and he lays on the boy and prays that he'd be raised from the dead. I mean, talk about putting yourself out there. Right? Imagine doing that. You go visit somebody in the hospital, some family, and their loved one has died, and you're going to lay on top of them and pray. Okay? He obviously was also listening to God. And God probably told him, lay out and pray, and I am going to raise this one. Okay, so there's a sensitivity there. Has anybody here ever prayed for somebody to be raised from the dead? Has anybody ever sought God for that? Okay. And a few hands for service too. Star and I, my wife and I, prayed for a little girl in Albania. I think she was about 5 or 6 years old. And she had gotten some kind of infection, but I think they were not treating it right, and they were doing all these transfusions. She was in our neighborhood. We didn't actually know her, but our friends in the neighborhood kept us updated, and now they're doing this and this, and we were just outraged listening as this girl was just dying slowly with these treatments. And then she died. They took her to the capital city, all the specialists and everything couldn't save her. So we helped arrange for her transportation back down to our neighborhood so the family could mourn and bury her. And we're outraged, and we're like, what do we do about this? God, can we go and pray for her to be raised from the dead? And God said, yes, go pray for her. So talk about creating desperation. I mean, here we are in another culture. We walk into a room, living room. There's this beautiful girl, passed away. She's on the coffee table, dressed in her prettiest dress. There's women packed into this living room weeping and crying, and we're supposed to walk into the middle of that and lay hands on this girl and raise her from the dead. Are you kidding me? Why did we step into this? And we felt like we were supposed to tell the mom what we were doing, because we could have just prayed in English and nobody would have understood us and just say, oh, can we pray for your daughter? So we told her, we're going to pray for her to be raised from the dead. Is that okay? Can we do that? She said yes. Laid our hands on her, prayed for a long time. I know, I'm like expectant. Like, I feel like God said, yes, go do this. He's going to meet us there, right? We're desperate for God to show up. It's going to rock the whole city. You know, it's going to open eyes to Jesus. This girl's going to be brought, restored. It's not her time yet. And nothing. At least nothing as far as the images I just described of what I thought was going to happen. And so what do you do with that? Putting yourself out there for the Spirit of God to move, and it doesn't look like he did. And Star and I had a choice. Are we ever going to do that again? Ever? And we decided that we were going to live a life of stepping out and calling on the Spirit to move and trusting whatever he does with that. Okay? So in that same time frame, there's a man who lived upstairs from us in the apartment building in the 70s, got this high temperature. It looked like it was his time to go. He had tremors. He was shaking. They called me up to come pray for him for healing. I'm like, okay, here we go. I'm going to go in and pray for this guy, and he's going to die while I'm praying for him or something. But you know what? I'm going to step out and I'm going to do it. That's not my part. My part is to step into things that require the Spirit of God to move, and then he does what he's going to do. And I was desperate. And I went up there and I prayed for that man, and he stopped shaking while I was praying for him. And he felt the Spirit of God move in such a way that he came to Christ. And shortly after, I'm baptizing him in a bathtub. So Different stories, different experiences, but stepping out. This is faith, stepping into what you know is true without knowing how it's all going to work. Okay. So now what I want to spend some time doing is actually employing this. And you got to understand, those stories that I just gave, you may be trying to apply those and going, okay, this afternoon, tomorrow, where can I do something like that that requires God to show up? And I could suggest some examples. But let me give you a few simple examples of things. Maybe it's just sharing Christ with a stranger. If you've never done that, you know the experience of listening to God on the spot while you're talking. God, what do I say next? While he's sharing, how do I reply with your love to what he's sharing with me? What do you want to say to this person, this man, this woman I'm talking to? And the tenderness of God sets in. The Spirit of God empowers you and gives you words to speak, even though when you stepped up, you didn't have the whole conversation mapped out. Okay? There's an instance. Maybe it's stepping into something in your life. We talk about being mentored here, going one-on-one mentoring where there's men or women who will walk with you in a deeper journey, maybe in an area of your life that you've kind of kept to the side. Maybe it's just stepping into that and saying, I'm going to go there. I don't know how this is going to work, and God's going to have to show up for us to get anywhere, but step into it. Maybe it's stepping into ministry. You know, my story with the guitar. Maybe there's an area of ministry in the fellowship that you felt like God's been prompting you on, but you know it's going to require the Spirit of God. You don't have it all in you. You put yourself in those positions as you follow God to require him to show up in his Spirit. Praying for someone on the spot. You know, you're at work and so-and-so shares about, you know, they've just found out they have cancer, or, you know, maybe they're just having, they're kind of depressed that day and they're having a bad day, and you say, would you mind if I pray for you for that? And they say, oh, that'd be great, yeah, thanks. And they start to walk away and you say, no, put your hand on their shoulder. Can I pray for you right now? Oh, yeah, yeah, we can talk to God right now. God's right here. And you pray for them right there. And you listen and you say, God, what do you want to say right now? What do I pray for this person? Might not have anything to do with the cancer. God may have one sentence that person needs to hear. It's going to completely change the course of their life. So you put yourself, those are available to us. We don't have to go to Africa to do that. Though some of us might be called to go there and do it. Some of us are called to do it here. So stepping into action. And remember, as we move forward now in the next part of this service, it's all about relationship, intimacy with God. God's not holding his Spirit from us. He's not holding out on us, but he is fathering us. And so the level in which he imparts the Spirit to you is part of his fathering process with you. He's getting you to a place where you're ready for what he has to give. And that's gonna call you closer to him, a closer relationship with him, because that's what he's after in all of this. It's not just to get his minions working and doing what he wants them to do. And it's because he wants relationship, depth of relationship. And this is the road to it, and it does require us to get out of our seats and move. And he will wait your whole life if you're not willing to move, to empower you with the Spirit. Because he's patient and he's a father. He can't make you. So, let's look at a few questions to kind of start to stir this. Where have I been unwilling to go in my life with God? What area have I maybe, just think of, you know, don't think in terms of lists right now, okay? You don't have to bring a list of things to God. Just think of one thing this morning. Because you're not going to remember my message probably next week. Okay? I've sat and listened to messages too. You know, you might remember one sentence or one phrase, but you are going to remember what comes up to this question. You are going to remember that when you walk out of here. So, what do I mean by that question? It's just some examples, kind of. You know, Let's see. Where am I not engaging where I know I'm needed? Right? Home, relationships, church, my walk with God, with my kids, with in my marriage, maybe with somebody I know who I know God's been softening my heart towards them to share with them about Christ, maybe in my own relationship, a habit, a sin that I'm walking in that I'm just not willing to submit. There's areas of your life that you need to engage with God. And then the other question to kind of stir all these waters up, what am I willing to give up to focus my desire on God? Okay, we're trying to cultivate a life where the Spirit of God shows up in power. No coffee for a week. Some of you are going, that will create desperation in me. I'm serious. I've given up things like that for a day and spent half of the day wrestling with it. And the other half of the day laughing and going, God, this is ridiculous. I'm giving up sugar today. Is this really consuming my mind, God? Is this really what I live for? Is candy, coffee, whatever it is, food? So it can stir that up, that desperation, really, which creates a conversation that you can start to have with God about what am I living for? Sleep. Set your alarm clock for 1 o'clock in the morning and get up and pray for as long as you can stay awake. Just do it randomly, okay? And it will create in you, then you get to wrestle with all those feelings when the alarm clock goes off. I can't believe I'm doing this. I don't want to do this. And you shut it off and you go back to bed and the next day you're thinking about it all day. What's going on in me? Okay, start to stir it up a little bit. Now, there's a piece of paper, a little white piece of paper, or maybe you have something to write on, and Gary's got some pencils if you need something to write with. I want you to answer this statement for me. Fill in the blank. I know I need to engage God, really engage in the following area. One area that you know you need to engage God, but you're not right now. Not at the level He wants you to. And fill that out. Just take some time. Think about that. If you're coming up on a roadblock with that, ask God, stir something up in you. God? The interesting thing is, some of us may be thinking, I don't live a life of desperation. It may be because you need to step into some things. Some of it may be because we need the blinders removed to the desperation that we really are in. And we've kind of gone numb and just said, nope, I can get by okay. I don't really need God to show up in these areas. Marriage, it's okay. Family, it's going all right. We'll get by. When there's a situation of desperation that you need to call on God, write something down. Now, this is a sword. If I can make it down the stairs without tripping, nobody's going to get hurt this morning. I got this sword because we live in a physical world, and we forget sometimes about the spiritual world that we live in. And it tells us in Corinthians that we are armed and dangerous in the spiritual, right? The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world, like this sword, but they have power to demolish strongholds. Do you walk around with the awareness that you basically have one of these, spiritually speaking, in hand all day long? Is that your awareness when you go through your day? I mean, you've basically, if you've received Christ and received the seal of the Holy Spirit, you've been knighted by the Holy Spirit, and He's given you a sword to use. Now I want to ask if somebody might be willing to engage in what we're talking about. And would anybody be brave enough to share what they wrote on a piece of paper? Yes.
I wrote
mind, heart, body, and soul. And what does that mean for you?
All of you.
So all of you. feel like you're holding back, just giving God part of you. Okay. Can I ask you to step into even a braver thing?
Okay.
Would you stand and pray to break that and to move in that and ask the Spirit of God to move in you in that with us? And would everybody else support your sister in seeking God for that? Okay? I need you to put your hands on the handle of the sword. That's how you kill with it. And go for it. And we're standing with you.
Dear Lord Jesus, I pray that you just break down whatever walls.
Yes, Lord.
That I have that's inside my heart.
Mm-hmm.
The fear of committing all to myself.
Yes.
And fear of rejection.
Yes.
And I just pray that you would just enter my heart and be so full of love, so I would.
Mm-hmm.
I would engage all of me and be the best servant I could possibly be.
Yes.
And I just pray that you would just help me do this so I can be a better mother.
Mm-hmm.
And show my daughter how to follow in Christ's steps.
Mm-hmm.
How she needs to be a brave woman.
Yes, God.
And I just pray that you would just break down my stubbornness and make me go. Anything else that I may be holding on, I do not know.
Mm-hmm.
And help me be one with God.
Yes. Amen. Wait, don't sit down. Grab that. Hold it. Both hands. Okay? How's that feel?
Cool.
Cool. Cool. Yeah. Okay, who's next? Anybody else? Very brave. Thank you. You don't have to. Just giving an opportunity. This might be your first step in stepping into living a different way. Anybody else? Just want to share? Yeah? Go ahead.
I really need to engage God, or let Him engage me in the area of pornography.
Mm-hmm.
It's something I've struggled with for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And, I've been very successful doing it on my own.
Would you be willing to go after that right now with us? Let's stand with our brother. Yeah, go ahead, literally stand. Go ahead.
Lord, you know what my struggle is.
Mm.
You know I try to do it on my own, that I do not look to you, that I don't even think to turn to you many times.
Mm.
And that it's not a struggle just with myself, but it's a struggle against the enemy.
Hmm. That's right.
And it's something I look to fill voids that really you've created in me to fill yourself.
Hmm.
Lord, I ask that you will totally dominate this area of my life.
Yes, Lord.
And that you will use it to draw me closer to you.
Hmm.
And teach me what love is really about.
Hmm.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, God. Yes, move in power. Right on. Here, you got to hold the sword. Remember, two hands. It's a broadsword. Remember that.
Yes.
Okay? This is just a picture so that we can remember in our hearts what we carry around with us all the time. How are we doing here? One more. If there is one more. Brave people this morning. Extremely brave. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm going to cry. Just to learn everybody.
Good.
Because it shocked me that the one word that I put down here made me cry. I normally don't cry or anything. I know I need to engage God, really engage in the following area. Dependence. Because last week during the service, God told me that my strength is my weakness.
Strength is your weakness.
unless it's his strength.
Right.
Then my
dependence.
Strength is my weakness, and I need dependence on him, and I don't want to trust to have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I need strength.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You
want to go? When do I stand up and pray? Right now. Right now. I don't know why, but I'm feeling like you're supposed to hold the blade of the sword in your hand. It's not sharp. I hope. It's not my sword. Okay? So you're surrendering the handle to God of your strength. You still have a sword, right? But that area of strength that you're trying to live out of, God wants you to give the handle of that over. Thank you. Awesome stuff, guys. Lots of you have things written down, and in the beginning, none of you may have wanted to get up, and now there's probably six or seven, and you're like, I want to! You still can. We're going to have some time here. Go ahead, Dad. We're going to have some time of just music before we start singing and worshiping again. Speak those things out to God. Those prayers you just heard, you can do that too. Pray out to God. It doesn't have to be quiet in here. And then we'll move into worship after that. So.